guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes. Good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show them a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know this.
That's it. I'm done.
Well, we're Peg Session Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. He's Mr. Matt Weber. Peg on the board. Peg from his week in Mexico, where he's all tanned. And, of course, he picked up a cold down there. We hope it's the cold. Just saying.
Yeah, well, I felt great until I got on the airplane coming back.
Did you have to wait? You have to wait 6 hours in line to get through O'Hare like everybody else?
No. Well, first of all, we flew to Midway. And then secondly, on Friday, when we came back, the Cancun airport was empty and Midway airport was empty. So, yeah, it was a pretty easy flight, actually.
So there's customs in Midway? I didn't even know that.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Frank, how are you?
Good.
Are you hanging in place?
Yes, I am. We did meet with Audrey yesterday, but we're done shopping. We've hoarded enough. I'm not going to run out of bread or butter. That's the Irish in me.
How about TP?
Oh, I would never run out. No, we had enough. We didn't hoard any. We didn't buy any extra. We did buy some. Susan's cousin called up and said she can't find toilet paper anywhere. And there, Tony's was full to the gills yesterday morning at 7.
I stopped at a few places just so I could talk about it on the air. I went to the Sam's Club. And place looked like it was in Russia. Everything was gone. I mean, even the stuff on the top racks that they use for storage. I mean, We're talking about, you could have got like a couple of pot roasts and some fish. Still had the chickens, the spinning and chickens, but the entire produce was like gone. The bread aisle was gone, all the peanut butter, all the tuna fish, virtually everything in the meat, all the coolers was all gone. TP. So I said, we must have something going on the expressway. So I say to the guy, you know, you guys need a new policy. Guy goes, what's that? And I said, well, when you have a big gaping hole here, you need to at least put a sign up what was there so I know what I missed. The guy, so how would you like it? I was tempted, you know, these guys probably aren't ready for my humor, but I was tempted to put a big sign up in one spot saying, due to the stupidity of our pricing department, this item was probably priced way too low, so as you see, it's gone. We'll have more tomorrow, but rest assured we will not make the same mistake again.
I like it.
Well, I went to an Aldi at 9, and they had everything.
The one out in,
that's what Jill said, too.
Yeah, the one out in Homer Glen was totally picked over.
And yeah, but opened at 9 o'clock. And they must have opened early, because I got there at 8:55. And there were people in there, but full produce, full bread.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, so I evidently, it all started on Wednesday morning, that if you're a Sam's Club member, which PTI has been forever, we're like special personnel, so we have a company membership. Because for those of you who recall back in the day, when Sam's opened up, it was really almost a wholesale place for other businesses in addition to being wholesale club for individuals. So I'm going to say way more than half of their business in those days was people from other businesses coming in and buying huge hunks of stuff to resell. Matter of fact, if you had the tax ID number, you didn't have to pay any tax. Now, I'm going to say that part of their business is way down. That's why it's probably not why they're not doing as well as Costco, because they're not set up for retail as much as Costco is. Anyway, so the lady says to me, this all started Wednesday morning, when there were 100 people in line, essentially at 7 o'clock, and just came in and just buzzed through everything. And, of course, they must have put out one pallet of toilet paper, because as I pull in the parking lot, I see these two ladies running out, and they have 72 rolls of toilet paper. I did hear that in a Walmart lot somewhere in, like, Georgia or someplace, somebody got there early, got the toilet paper, and was selling them to people in the parking lot. Doesn't a tear come into your eye? It's so American, isn't it? Did you see the bleep that they Did you see the guy that they stopped trading the Clorox on wipes on the internet? He had $75,000 worth of. Well, he made $75,000 in like 3 days. And they stopped him from selling the rest on Amazon because they know he went to every like dollar store and bought them all out. So he had like I don't know how many $100,000 worth of wipes.
He went to Costco's too.
Yeah, he probably went to Costco's.
Yeah, shut him down.
Yeah.
Profiteering.
Well, but
no lower form of scum on earth than people that steal needed products and then sell them at a profit during an emergency.
It is it's the
get your gun and take it.
It's capitalism.
Excuse me.
No. It's capitalism at its finest. Well, all the NBA
stealing it is too.
So, Maddie, how do you think the NBA teams got the 56 tests 2 weeks ago? Nobody else can find them.
That's a good question.
Just saying.
Rich man's privilege.
All right, Frank. Trading was interesting on Friday. We were trying to do the roll. The volatility was so high out further out that I said, you know what, let's just go to the end of the month on our puts. So I basically held my nose and did this trade right when we were down, and I'm like, I can't believe I'm paying this much for these puts. So it turns out we did this put spread, and from where the QQQs were when we did it, by the end of the day, the QQQs were up 12, and the spread I did was up 3. So we
You're a genius.
Well, except for the fact, full disclosure, that somewhere along the line I go, we got to sell some calls to pay for these puts. So, of course, I sell some calls for 2.5, and they close at like 5 in like 2 minutes. So kind of put a little cold water on my other brilliant trade. So it's hard to have too many brilliant ones in a row in this market, wouldn't you say? But now the one thing we didn't do, I should have rolled those puts up on the close on Friday, but you know, by the time you got an order in, well, of course, today, we're right back in the middle. The calls are good and the puts aren't so good. So because we're locked down limit, 128.50. NASDAQ futures down 359. Dow futures down 1,041. So, I mean, it looks every stock in the transportation. Apple's down $31. Boeing's down 18. That's a massive move in Apple. It's 246. Procter & Gamble down 9. This is ugly this morning. IBM down 10. Home Depot down 16. Goldman Sachs down another 19. But, Frank,
Boeing's down another 20.
Yeah. I'm not sure what to say about this, although I'm going to have to bring that quote out from William Kennedy about whether we were going to drop the atomic bomb or not after working feverishly on the thing for 2 years. His quote was, "Events were in the saddle and they drove the men hard. Yesterday morning, I woke up and talked to Kevin, and he said, you know, everybody's all pissed off about the spring break people and how basically you let everybody out of college. The kids, even who have it, don't feel like they're sick, so they all go to. So it's basically, you know, behind elbow on the beaches in Florida. So everybody's like outraged. Now I go from the idea, Frank, that two things are principles here. One is you have to protect the old people big time, which I don't think we're doing as much as we should. And secondly, everybody's got to be someplace, right? So all these guys are at the beach and ladies. So then I'm sitting there going, well, they're going to do something about that. And then all of a sudden you hear it at the early downtown in Chicago. People are out as if it were, maybe it was in the south side, people are out as if the parade was on. Sort of bars are mopped.
So I knew downtown.
So I knew everybody was going to say, oh, man, this can't be. But they were. Then they toyed for an hour about, you know, well, should we go to half capacity? If your bar is rated for 100, you can only have 50. Finally, no, let's just close it. But the rapidity of decisions that appear people are making in like, you know, a half hour is very, very dangerous, Frank. And so, of course, I hear this and I had to wander up to the Tripoli to see what the wake was all about. I mean, because it's obviously a wake for any of these places that the Thai restaurant on Saturday night that Audrey and I went to, we're the only people in the place. That poor lady, she done an amazing job in that place. The food's delicious. She buys it in the morning. She works her fanny off. And I bet she doesn't make it. Because nowhere in this is like a property tax holiday. I mean, it's all for themselves. You wonder if they're already planning for the landscape when this is over to favor a few people over other people. So So, Frank, I get
Well, companies with over 500 people are all already favored.
Oh, yeah.
As far as sick leave, but, you know.
So, are you
and why didn't we, the FDA, okay the WHO testing? It takes 15 minutes to get an answer, but we're fighting to get a three-day test out.
These are questions, Frank, that... But, just let me finish.
Obama, we know.
Yeah, well, so there's this guy sitting two seats away from me, 6 feet away, at the bar, and you could tell he was, you know, he's this older dude, but you could tell he was like a retired accountant kind of guy or something. So he's talking to the bartender, and she's, you know, I'll leave the name off, but she works 2-3 days a week here and another place, and she teaches Chinese and English to people on like, you know, cash basis to different families and so forth. So the guy says to her, she says, you know, and plus, you know, Tripoli's closing down, and she's like in tears. And the guy's like, well, you shouldn't be worried at all. I mean, it's clear the government's going to take care of you. And, you know, just find out which one of the programs that the president outlined today or the governor are going to take care of you. And she looks at the guy and she goes, nothing's ever fallen to me. I don't qualify for any of that stuff. Like, what's the matter with you, you moron? I mean, don't people get it? I mean, last week I had a feeling this was going to happen. We went to her place back in August on the South Side. All the lady, the bartender said, how many people in that neighborhood near South Side work at McCormick Place? And they get a call and there's a thing, they go and they work the hours and they get a check. I'm not even sure they qualify for unemployment. But if you do, what's unemployment in Illinois? Do you know, Frank? Is it less than your hospitalization bill? I mean, your insurance bill?
Yes. Well, yeah, it's less. It's about 50% of what you were making.
Up to what?
For 6 months.
Yeah,
I don't know up to what.
Well, I mean, if you're making 100 grand, they're not going to give you 50.
No, but if you were making 40 grand, they might give you...
I'm going to say it probably tops out at $1,800 a month, something like that.
Yeah, I guess it is.
So if it's there, it's right about where your insurance bill, your hospitalization insurance bill is, right?
Well, yes, definitely. But the problem is the people making the laws all have government-paid insurance.
Right, we have to somehow...
And the people that make the most noise have corporate-paid insurance. The insurance should be taxed. It's income, and I'm tired of hearing people with corporately provided insurance say there's no problem with medical delivery in the United States.
Well, the flip side of it is...
this time.
The flip side is the individuals who pay for it should be able to deduct it. Shouldn't be different.
I used to pay $4,000 a month because I had a pre-existing condition, a couple of them in my family. $4,000 a month.
What was your deductible?
It doesn't matter. It was like a couple grand. For the family, I think it might have been $3,000 per individual, $1,000, something like that.
Well, now some of the families are up to like $13,000 in deductible, in addition to $2,500 a month or something. That's a lot.
And... You look at the hospital, you sent me something that showed the hospital beds per 100,000 were at 2.8 in the United States. Every time I go to Blue Island, I see a hospital that just closed down
with
300 or 400 beds. They're everywhere.
Yep. We clearly are not thinking things through, and everybody, I don't know, would the same thing happen to us, Frank, I guess is the question. Would we totally forget? I mean, the Pritzker's of the world, and he's not a dumb man, and I don't think his heart's in a horrible place either. But
that's the best political speech I've heard in years.
Well,
what he did yesterday afternoon.
Well, but the point being is, he's still got this mentality that everybody's got money like him, and if you take care of that everybody, that if you say you're gonna, that none of them get the part where if you throw the bartenders and all those people and all the, and every, those guys, not that they run the economy. It's not like that. That's not what I'm trying to say. But the more you tell the people, the teachers, don't worry, you're out for 2 months and you're going to get paid. It behooves you to figure out that if the people that are paying them, are they going to be okay? Now, the Tripoli tap, I don't think Nick owns the building, but if he did, are we talking no hospital, I mean, no property taxes for a month? Oh, no, we're not doing that, right? We're not coming close to that one. You know, are we going to...
Well, where is the Tripoli?
It's in Armitage and Webster. Armitage and
Webster. Oh, okay.
Armitage and Racine. So Webster and Armitage are parallel. They wouldn't be there. The what I'm saying is, does the lady in Orland with the Thai place, does her landlord get a property tax whiff for the 2 months that this is going to happen, or 3 months or 4 months, so he can cut her lease in half? That's not going to happen. I mean, these guys have to understand that with all these programs they put in, there's an end of the bench, like in the Three Stooges, where they keep getting kicked off the end of the bench, right?
It's a game of musical chairs,
yeah.
And we're taking away a chair every time we prohibit something.
Well, and then every time we give something to somebody, you know, when you get married, you know, Lori Lightfoot out there, we're going to make sure that people have paid sick leave. From who, if the firm goes under? Who's required to pay these people? I mean, the total lack of knowledge of, or care, they must know, they're not dumb people. The total lack of knowledge where you just take an entire segment of the population. What about you can't go get your car fixed? Okay, what about auto mechanics? What are they going to do? Those guys are all paid. I don't know how many of those guys are paid W-2. Guys that work in small garages and stuff.
What about car dealerships?
Yeah. Well, I know a couple of used car guys that tell me they're not selling anything. Do you really need a new car if you'll be dead in 2 months?
What, do I need to buy a house if I'm going to be dead in 2 months?
Well, yeah, if you're buying it through Audrey.
Or if the market's going down to 18,000.
Yeah, but look at the interest rates. They're zero. And now the Fed is totally... Does anybody think this is a liquidity crisis?
It is when it comes to traders.
Now, how is it...
Trading liquidity.
Yeah. How is it that these guys can lower these rates to zero? Doesn't somebody in that room raise their hand and say, do you think for the duration of this we should drop credit card rates to like 15? Oh no, screw those guys.
Lower education loans to 3%.
Well, didn't they give everybody a month off on that or something? There's some.
Oh no, 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 no. What happens is that month, if you make a payment, it all goes to principal, and that's all it is. So if you owe $100,000 and you pay $200, they aren't going to raise your interest rate. It's not going to be added on. But if you pay $200, then you're going to owe $99.8. It's one of the biggest lies around.
Well, this is just a total follow through on what we've talked about a million times, Frank. It's the people in charge have no idea that a significant percentage of the population never came out of the last recession and were living paycheck to paycheck, only worse. And now this, they don't even seem to be, there's a problem here. And
we've been told there isn't a problem. Have you looked at a timeline of our president's comments from like January 28th, you know, that time period when he first talked about it every day? He told us a week ago. Let's say 10 days ago there was no problem. Larry Kudlow, a week ago Thursday, was saying everything was under control.
He's the one who said...
There's no problem. We're going down.
2008.
This is going to be gone.
2008, the Goldilocks economy. The greatest story never told, Larry Kudlow. And now the guy's the head of what? Economic thought in the country or something? And go out and buy the market. I don't, you know.
Don Jr. said that a week ago Friday.
Yeah.
Buy it for your 401k. This is a buying point. I do have a question about buying something. My lifetime, it seems that any time oil goes under 30, it's a buy.
Careful with it this time.
Oh, I know, because we have Saudi Arabia and Russia in that price match. War.
Frank, when are we going to... actually, a bunch of my clients were talking last week is, you know, my guys are... I'm not going to lie to anybody and say we're up, but we're not down very much because we had puts on everything and the volatility is pretty high. But is there a spot here where we're going to be able to pick five or six individual stocks and only hope one of them goes under and start doing some trades in there, Frank? I don't know. I mean, I don't know if we're there yet. I mean, some of this stuff, I mean, I got Cleveland Cliffs down to 438. I don't know. Are they going out of business? Maybe. I got Freeport, 650. I mean, I know that there's not much money in making copper. It's six, it's, what, how much is it per ounce? Copper is, 250. There's not a whole lot of profit in there. But I mean, if
gold is still going down.
Yeah. Well, what is the story with that?
Well, if there was a palladium got slammed last week, and it appears to have something to do with catalytic converters, the need for palladium for...
Well, I've got copper down to 237, gold down to 1477 from 1670. It was 1700, what, five trading days ago? Silver is down to $1.77, so silver's in the middle. It's an industrial. I mean, these guys are going to put us into a worldwide depression. And we've got
Bitcoin is at 4,500. It was at 9,000 2 weeks ago.
Why are these guys even saying that we're not even going to have a recession? We're in one.
Mnuchin said that yesterday, and he said that the problem. Trump didn't say a number of the different comments that he's been excoriated for in the past few days. That is that the media wasn't listening.
Well, I think the media is listening. I mean, the rapidity for which we've gone from there's not really a problem to hang on to the rowboats, going to the rowboats has been dramatic here. And I don't know that anything's really being. It seems to me, Frank, after watching the fiasco in Italy and seeing what good they're doing in South Korea, you've got to isolate the old people. You've got to get them away from the young people. Sending kids away from school to go live with grandma is not cutting it. I mean, there needs to be. And one of the things I read yesterday about how they don't have. I sent it to you. We don't have enough ventilators, the things in the hospital to breathe for people. We have less per person than Italy and less per person than South Korea by a huge factor. But there's two other ways you can help people breathe. And the article goes on to say, it's from the New York Times. I'll dig it up here. Goes on to say, that you can't use those because it's not a closed system. The germs will escape into the air. All right. So I'm thinking, okay, if you've got a nursing home or a hospital that has four buildings, you take all those people and put them into one building. Everybody there has the disease. By now there's enough hospital workers that are probably over it, or you can protect. Who cares if it gets in the air? You got to keep people alive, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
Saturday, Pence told us there were going to be 14 million tests available by the end of the week. That number this morning was 1.1 million.
Well, South Korea, I sent you guys all this stuff all week. In South Korea, they have drive-through testing things. That if you think you have a cough or whatever, you drive through, they take a swab, and they text you if it's a no, and they call you if it's a yes. Within 6 hours.
And it's the WHO test.
Yeah.
Which we refuse to approve.
Well, no, because this one takes a few hours. It's got to go to a lab. So I don't think it's not the one that
okay.
is like automatic or anything. But no, because they showed pictures of all these guys working in the labs. But I mean, they've addressed it way more rapidly. And they have 2.3 times as many ventilators and like hospital beds per person as we do here. And we came off just how many bazillion dollars we spent. I know I keep ragging on this, but we just spent all this money for Homeland Security. I mean, every single crisis is the same way. Right, Frank? I mean,
walls save lives. Come on, Tom.
But I'm saying everything that could have happened, I mean, obviously if you blast up a building and everybody dies, there's not a whole lot of care to do there. But everything else, chemical bomb, biological bomb, dirty bomb, you name it, it all has to do with bringing an awful lot of equipment to one place, because a lot of people are hurt in one spot, and moving people out of there to other areas that you can. Those are the logistics of it. I see no hint of that here. Do you?
Because we got rid of the group that was in charge of overseeing that infrastructure and the movement of those products.
Well, but I'm talking all the way from 2001. I don't think we ever spent the money we were supposed to be spent. People stole it.
Good chance.
So I mean, I don't think it was ever there. So are you looking for a spot to pile in here? Are you waiting to see the oil bottoms from? And what would be your trick? What would be your canary in the coal mine that says maybe we could actually put a toe in the water?
Got an oil, probably something under 25. And here's my thought, and I'm going to be doing options anyway, is that at least the downside, the defined risk on the downside, is getting smaller with every tick down. I mean, compare putting something on at 60 versus putting on something at 30. Our downside risk is less.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look at, if you decide, and I don't know, I mean, these companies might be going to go out of business. I guess if you decide to buy Halliburton at $5, you probably don't need to buy the puts.
Having said that, it's an option.
Yeah, having said that, it'll be $2 the next day, and I'll play where's my puts. Frank, thank you very much, buddy. We might be calling on you as the week wears on because a lot of stuff here. SP Futures still locked down 128, NASDAQ Futures down 358. Lock them down. Lock them down, Horace. Be right back, Mr. John Flanagan.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term.
I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howley, Mr. Matt Weber on the board, back from Mexico. Glad he flew in the midway. So 6 hours of touching people's bodies, Matty, and then saying, remember when you leave here to be 6 feet apart from everybody.
Right.
Just saying.
Yeah.
SP Futures, this is the bad, I didn't want to get to the bad news here, for God's sake. With that lockdown limit on 128.50, a NASDAQ Futures down 359.75, Dow Futures down 1,041. Just when you thought that was the bad news, it's not really, because the SPYs, which are free to trade here, that's the cash, they're down 9.6%, almost 10. So I'm going to say right out of the gate here, we're going to be a minus 7%, and then maybe lower than that. This is a extremely ugly day. I'm pissed I didn't roll my puts up Friday. But individual stocks, it's getting worse. American Express down 13.86.02. Apple 245 down 32 bucks. Boeing down another 21, under 150. Caterpillar 90. Like I said, it's Goldman Sachs down another 22. So there must be something going on in the financial area for sure. I've got the XLF down $3, $20. Now, if anything's a buy somewhere, the bank's in here someplace. GDX, gold, everything is down. We'll go through that in a second. Over in Europe, we've got, man, this is long-winded because there's stuff going on, but what can I tell you? DAX down 686, 7.5%. FTSE down 340, 6.5%. CAC around down 354, that's 8.5%, so brutal over there. Nikkei down 429, 2.5%. Shanghai down 98, down 3.4%. Hang Seng down 969, that's 4%. Oil, ouch, 29.52. This was like 50-some dollars like 5 weeks ago. Brent down 327, 3058. Natural gas, 178. RBOB, what do you think RBOB is, Manny? Just take a guess, bud.
I wouldn't know.
70 cents.
Wow.
So if you add like a dollar to that, we should be giving gas for $1.70?
I saw that it's under $2 in a lot of places now.
I paid $2.20 or something.
Yeah, even in the Chicagoland area, I've seen under $2.
Gold down 38 bucks, 14.78. Silver down $1.90, 12.60. Copper down 9 cents, 2.60. If this copper isn't a buy in here somewhere, you might as well, you're going to put China's going to slip out to the sea. At some point here, this copper's got to be a buy. I mean, I don't know where, but 10-year, 0.75, the bond minus 0.54, Japan has almost gone positive here. So with the Fed throwing money at the system, everybody else in the world's rates are going up. Imagine that. This is really strange. Manny, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We do have a crash, probably the siren we heard a little bit ago, Chief,
yep.
On the outbound Eisenhower just before Des Plaines Avenue. There's a crash that's now blocking the right shoulder. Old Post Office to Wolf is up to 25 minutes to Route 390, 37 minutes. Still pretty light traffic on the outbound Eisenhower, even with that crash. No issues on the inbound side. Edens and Kennedy are looking good, although we do have an exit ramp closed on the outbound Kennedy at Canfield Road. Due to road construction, and that's going to remain closed until late summer. So keep that in mind if that's your exit. No issues coming in on the Edens. Southside expressways are all quiet. I anticipate we'll have very light traffic throughout the morning and probably for the foreseeable future, as
yep.
A lot of people are not commuting into downtown these days. Weather today, it's going to be cloudy and cold, but a bit warmer than yesterday. We'll reach a high of 41 today. Right now it's mostly clear and 35, going up to an overcast high of 41. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 78. Right now it's clear and 54. In sports, well, there are no sports. No, obviously, basketball or hockey to talk about. It would have been Selection Sunday yesterday, but that didn't happen. And CBS Turner decided to not release a bracket either, which I thought was kind of surprising. That would have been something to do. I don't know why they didn't just release what the bracket would have been.
You're dying for anything in the sports area, I can see.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm going to say, I'll admit there were some off-color jokes among friends of how many deaths we could live with to have the tournament. Why
don't you guys that are home, why don't we get up a collection from our listeners that hopefully are in the market and have some protection on their position. So let's get up some cash, rent a cable station. ESPN's got to be wide open. And just start putting on old ball games, like the Cubs from 69 or 71 or old Bear games when Butkus was saying. They're people still bet on them. They don't know who won.
Well, that's actually interesting. I don't know if people would still bet on them, but I'd watch them. I mean, I think they are starting to do that. They are starting to replay older games because, I mean, they have to fill the time somehow.
Well, nobody would. You could Google who won the game, right? But you could bet on, like, the next play. Right? Nobody knows what happened to the next play or that quarter. You know, nobody knows how many yards Gale Sayers ran for in the fourth quarter or something.
Well, there still are some horse races going on, aren't there?
Right, they were watching those at Tripoli yesterday. They're going.
Yeah, so I don't know how much longer those can go on, but I guess
if there's
no people there.
Yeah. Are all the off-track betting's closed? They probably are.
I think so. But, betting on horses remotely seems to be the only action out there right now.
So the very, very simple question, Jay Pritzker, where exactly are we supposed to be, Manny?
Home.
Okay. There's homes that are more crowded than places out.
Yeah, but
everybody's not his house with 48 toilets you pull out of there to cut the taxes.
No, that's true. I know.
I mean,
but you figure at home, everyone's going to have what everyone has anyway. So you're going to keep it to yourself.
In the bad neighborhoods, where half of the mothers are on, I won't say half, but a lot of the mothers are, shall we say, unfit, and the grandmothers are watching the kids and getting paid for it, do we think that taking kids out of school and dropping them on that grandmother is a positive thing or not?
I would say no. And a lot of the experts I've read said closing the schools, you know, the elementary and you know, junior high age kids especially, is probably not necessary.
Right. Do we have Mr. Flanagan?
We do.
So why isn't he opining, or is he just seeing?
You haven't said hi to him yet.
Mr. Flanagan, by the way, let the world know Mr. Flanagan and I are going to find a bar tonight, last one ever.
And close it down.
Close it down. Well, we won't be closing it down, but we'll stay to 8 o'clock, which would be late for us.
Well, just to pick up on what you and Manny were saying, I was researching last night into how school closings were handled back in the 1918 epidemic, and they were not closed, as far as I can tell, ever in Chicago. And the health director went on record saying that it was more productive to screen kids as they went into school and spotted the kids who were clearly unwell and told them to go home and let everybody else stay. And they said attendance rates were pretty much normal. He said it was safer for the kids to be in school than to turn them loose in the streets where they were God knows where. And if they were sick or about to get sick, infecting people that they came in contact with, at least in the school, they were all kind of monitored. And, you know, life continued about as normal as it could. And it seems like a closure never became necessary. And, there may have been other districts in Illinois where attendance rates were so low that they ended up closing schools, but it doesn't seem like it happened in Chicago.
If you're the head of the Chicago system, And some guy decides to close the ones in Rockford and 15 microphones. Mr. Flanagan, when are you going to close Chicago schools? Don't you feel like you're behind the curve?
Well, and the teachers union was the one pushing it. You know, so it's like,
well they're going to get paid.
They have sort of vested interest in this. I mean, they're going to get paid apparently, and they'll be able to be home with their families and not doing their jobs and not phoning it in or anything else. So I don't think that they were the best ones to be pleading for a school closure, but you know, it's never, they don't really think about the optics of what they do, it seems. So.
Somewhere, John, I talked about a little bit with Frank, somewhere, someplace, one of these people is going to get the idea. Somehow it's going to be a cold slap in the face like the old Aqua Velva commercials. The other people out there that you're constantly counting on to pay for the people that you want to not work, teachers, city workers, you name it, those people, you can't get blood out of a turnip anymore. I got news for you. All the bartenders, all the people who work at McCormick Place are going to stop contributing to other people's salary right now because they don't have any.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, if you really think about this, and the short-sightedness of just making a blanket proclamation, putting, you know, businesses potentially out of business, what does this do for tax collection? Because all of these places, you know, charge sales tax on meals, and that is not going to be coming into the state coffers. And, you know, the two-week closure is tentative at best, it seems. They may extend it for well beyond 2 weeks. They certainly left that possibility open. How do you put something like that in place without having thought about abatement for rent or property taxes, payroll, whatever? Did you have some kind of plan that you've really agonized over and nuanced and fine-tuned and roll it out and phase it in even gradually?
What makes you think, area by area?
Do something to mitigate the pain of just shutting down an entire entertainment business like this. So it just floors me.
John, what makes you
kind
think
of thing happens, so.
Without going into politics, without talking, what makes you think? I mean, I was talking to our friend Kevin last night. When are the people on the right going to wake up and realize that if they are correct and there is a deep state, it has nothing to do with the Democrats? It has to do with a deep state. Look, go back. You probably know more about this than anybody. You just haven't accessed it in your brain for a while. Every single time something like this happens, the amount of wealth of an awful lot of people end up in the hands of a few. The single biggest wealth transfer in this country's history was the Resolution Trust. Now, what makes you think that since we're not giving all these people at these Greek restaurants, and I say that because a lot of the breakfast places are owned by Greek people, all these places, what makes you think that that when they can't pay their taxes, which we're getting no waiver on, by the way, when they're closed, that the people who are going to line up and pick these places up for tax sale are, you know, as I said to the bartender last night, he's been on the show, Scott Benjaminson, he's an actor. I said, Scott, there's no question in my mind, there's going to be a Tripoli tap. It just might not be Nick's.
Right.
Somebody will buy it out of tax, so something will do something. I said, that's the way with this thing. The same people are already eyeballing the ones that are the weakness, and they're going to end up with those places. It happens every single time. When are we going to wake up and realize that our authorities, either they're idiots and they don't realize that this is happening, or it's about to happen, or it's going to happen again, or are they actually pushing it? I mean, are those people behind them saying, hey, you know, here's your opportunity to close these places. By the way, I got my eye on a few of them. They're not.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me at all. That certainly is the, I mean, you don't have to take a really long view to see that being the outcome of this. That there will be, you know, failed businesses galore and empty retail spaces waiting to be gobbled up, and landlords who are hungry for tenants, paying tenants, and there'll be a shakeout. And who knows, you know, I do believe, as you suggested, that the deep state is bipartisan. You know, there's no one party that benefits any more than the other in crisis times. And, you know, crisis capitalism, like what we're seeing here kind of played out in this restaurant ban, you know, takes prisoners of all stripes. You know, that doesn't really...
Well, nobody knows better than you, Jan.
Party, so.
Draw the parallels. Nobody knows better than you, being the lawyer that knows more about tax, property tax law. Work through the episode in 2008. And how many people lost their homes that never missed a payment, but couldn't drop down in rates because the house couldn't appraise out for where their spot was. And how many people bought those houses from other people that the other people could have bought the house at that price and are still gone and are never coming back.
Right, they'll never be in the market again. Yeah, right. No. Absolutely.
I mean, everybody knows my significant other Audrey is, you know, pretty aggressive in the real estate area, and she's been pretty busy because Aud, to be perfectly blunt, Aud does a hell of a good job. I mean, she works her fanny off at this, sending cards out, meeting people. If anybody, I mean, she's off, not a lazy bone in her body. I mean, a lot of it has, I mean, you're in a business by yourself, that's the way it is. And, so, I mean, she would have foreclosures, and all of a sudden, even though she went to get, she's female, obviously. She could never get any kind of a women's minority business where you actually got any any of these foreclosures out of banks. They all went to 5 or 10 different people. They all went to like 5 people. You could never just go in there and say, by the way, I just happen to be African-American and female and a real estate agent. Can I sign up for this? Well, yeah, you can sign up for it. Am I going to get any? Well, no. I mean, it is so, the kickbacks or whatever it is, she never got any of these foreclosures, Jen.
No.
I mean, and so the houses that went for, and every time there was a house on the market for 80 grand and she put a bid on it, all of a sudden it disappeared and somebody else got it. And who's the somebody else? I mean, this is so crooked. And every time there's a crisis, these people come down like vultures. They're no different than the guy selling the Clorox hand wipes out of the back of his trunk.
Exactly, Tom.
And are we ever going to wake up and stop it? Or are people so involved that they think that's the way it ought to be?
Well, I think one of the problems is in just the, not only in what happened with this draconian ban over the weekend, but the way in which it was rolled out. And I was quite offended by watching Lightfoot and Pritzker both chastising the public for not having, you know, leaped to the fore fast enough to obey them the first time, and now they're going to punish us.
Yeah, yeah.
After seeing how people were behaving, you know, in the run-up to St. Patrick's Day, you didn't listen to me now. Now I'm taking your toys away from you for good.
Right.
And I thought, you know, if you really wanted people to get behind you and support, you know, shared suffering to get through this, that is not how you go about it. But it is how you go about it if you just want to ram it down people's throat and make them like it, because we can do that.
Dictator
and
for a day.
That's what makes me think the whole thing smacks of just, you know, a grand seizure of private businesses and making people have to toe the line because these people have the power to do this. It's, like, it's government by royal proclamation. It's insane.
There's been some people, John, that have wanted to try this zero or negative interest rate out for a while. Now, if we start pounding it through to the general population, the next thing, and I'm going to predict this, I'm going to tell you right now, I mean, I'm pretty good at this, unfortunately. If we go negative interest rates here to where you actually got to pay the bank to put in, you're going to get your money, they're not going to give you the cash. They're going to say we're going to go cashless.
Well, they're doing that with the toll collection, I heard
right
today.
Now, that could be the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, really?
Yeah. I mean, that's insanity. I don't get the. Well, the weird part is, I guess if you're a foot away face to face with somebody, I sort of get it. But the ones where you come off the expressway and it's just an automated, and you're sort of 75 cents in, they shut off those too. How does that hurt anybody?
I don't get it.
But it
certainly feeds into the notion that they're making you accept a cashless, you know,
right,
option here.
And everybody wants
just taking away the cash as an option. So
they want to just be able to if Jan Flanagan has 100 grand in a bank, at the end of the year you got 99. That's it. It's another tax.
Right.
Because the banks,
the privilege deserve of hanging onto your money.
I mean, but when are we? I don't know who I was talking to. I said, look at the people that are about to run this country. We got Trump. We've got Biden. We've got Bernie. We've got Schumer. We've got McConnell. We've got Pelosi. Those, we're talking about Elmer Fudd. I wouldn't put any of those people in charge of my firm. What are we doing, Jen? That group of people, they wouldn't be in my top 200 to run anything. Any of them.
Well, the both parties have had a pretty dismal record, I would say, in the last 20 years of fielding candidates for national office. And, you know, I wouldn't put any party behind or ahead of the other in this regard. It just smacks of cronyism and favors and taking unqualified people and propping them up and making them insulated from criticism, and then putting them before the public as if this is the best we've got. And there is no way, really, for any kind of, I hate to say populist or grassroots candidacy, but I mean just to use as an example, where you would ever get anywhere in this process. You would be so humiliated or driven out off the stage by the you know, powers that be, that you're never going to get anywhere. You'll never get any media time. You'll never get any endorsements. You'll never be taken seriously. You won't even be mentioned by
the only way you could.
I would argue that's what Bernie is. Well, he's the only
well,
one.
Yeah, that's true, I think, Manny. He is, and this is just what rankles the system so much, is somebody like Bernie has gotten as far as he has. And they hate it. You know, that is not the game plan. They want to be imitated by anybody.
The only way you could do it is become such a media star in totally another venue, either in sports or on TV entertainment.
It's like Trump. I mean,
yeah, and all of a sudden say, I'm running.
Right.
I mean, an Oprah or somebody like that, even though, you know, I mean, there's no, but none of these people have the educational background, the political background, the business background. I mean, not that Oprah does. I mean, she's got some pretty good business background, but we're never gonna, that's the only way you can jump into the system. I mean, there's no way a Harry Truman or Jim Baker or even Roosevelt. I mean, you don't pile in there anymore. But Roosevelt worked his way up. He was what, mayor? Was he chief
governor of New York? And
he was a police chief or something, or mayor or something. Something.
He was a Politico, you know. He was from a connected family too. Yeah. But he had a fire in his belly, you know. And he was charismatic in ways that people around him never really, I think, were able to match. And he rode that as far as he could.
Well, he took radio and made more radio than Trump did at Twitter.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But
and better at it.
Well, but I mean, we have a mutual friend, we'll go nameless, that, and I said, hey, why don't you run for something? Oh, no, we just, one of our guys, everybody know the name, so I'm not going to say it, he like ran once, we're going to be behind the scenes, that's where the money is and that's where the power is. I mean, somebody propping these people up, I mean, somebody propped up Denny Hastert. Somebody made sure that, what's his name, the guy, Rostenkowski, got tossed out for who cares about stamps, right? Because he was his own man. You couldn't push Danny around, I don't believe. Just big, 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 strong, old, stubborn Polish guy that you were not going to push around, I believe. Now, I don't know, well, your view might be different.
I agree.
But we couldn't have anybody like him in the Speaker of the House anymore. So we got to put somebody in there who we clearly know has an issue. Right? Well, Newt came in on the routine, and then Newt had some power behind him, but then we diffused him pretty quick too, right?
Yeah.
Anybody who has any real power gets diffused. And then we end up with somebody we can... I mean, we've had Wayne on a bunch of times saying all the key people knew in Washington knew that Hastert was tainted. They didn't know exactly how or why, but they sort of figured it out when he was constantly taking the junkets to Thailand with some other guy. Some guy from California, I don't know his name.
He goes, yeah, people, on both people like Barney Frank, who had his own page problem,
right?
You know, they knew about Hastert. You know, the inner circle of people who were doing the same thing were fully aware of it, and they had a kind of a gentleman's agreement never to point the finger. But it was hardly unknown in the highest levels. But it's great blackmail material, and this is how intelligence operations have always managed to control people, by finding the ones who are compromised. And holding this sword over their head so that you keep them in line. How else can you really control somebody unless you have the power to destroy them?
How many
so
people
you find somebody who's destroyable, and then you make them dance to your tune, and then when you don't need them anymore, you destroy them. So you're used up.
Well, John, where's the end game on this? Is it? I never dreamed. I always thought it would just be a third party or something like that. After what I've seen the last week and how fast we could degenerate, never let a crisis go to waste. I mean, I don't think we're going to recognize this country when we come out of this, and I wonder if that the guys on the right are maybe correct in keeping their guns. I mean, I'm wondering.
I do think that the demoralization of people in the face of something like this, unfolding economic and social crisis that we're undergoing right now, the long-term effect of that is just plain weariness. People the next time around aren't going to be as optimistic or as willing to stick around or stand up or try something different. They're going to be just too beat up. And this is, progressive. If you look, starting back in the 80s with Resolution Trust and on and on and on, it's left more and more people vulnerable to fluctuations that in other times were not so cataclysmic and didn't take out so many people. And now the numbers are bigger each time, and there's fewer survivors. And the ones that survive are bigger and more ruthless than ever. So I do think that it isn't going to be recognizable. We're going to be dealing with people who are pretty chewed up by events, and they're not going to be in big enough numbers to be a counterforce to anything.
It's
a horrible prospect, but
why do you suppose that there's so that the sacred cows of interest rates are 24%? Is that how we keep our thumb on people? We just keep them poor. And then how is it that the market doing this? And I've got the markets are down a limit, which that's why I'm not giving the numbers too much. Down 5%, but the real number, the SPY is down 10%. So it's way worse than the futures are telling you. Locked down here. And why can't we raise the $3,000 capital gain limit? I'm looking at this transportation average. From where I'm, my implied opening today, I'm thinking this thing is down 33% since the 13th of February. That's like exactly like a month ago. 33%, Jen. There's never been, I don't even know, 1929 we went down 33% that fast.
I can't believe we did.
Well, we did, 87 we did from Wednesday to Monday, but then we somewhat came right back. SP futures, they say lock limit down 128. NASDAQ lock limit down with the real numbers, and the S&P SPY down 9.7%, which is, ouch. We'll be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. Do you know when the unofficial start of real estate season is in the Chicago area? It's actually right after the Super Bowl. Yep, it's the time when the guys will finally get off the couch and the families start looking for homes in the area. Now, interest rates also have been hovering around 4%, and the selection of properties are great. And if you're a first-time home buyer, there is an Illinois program that allows you to purchase a home for only 1% down. And that also applies to anyone who hasn't owned a home in the past 3 years. So if you're thinking about it, this is the perfect time. Call or email me, and I will send you a free list of homes designed to your specifications in your area. My phone number is 708-349-3456, or you can email me, AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com. That's AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
This is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But if you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty and the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes, Have you been frustrated by the lack of income your investments have provided? If you have answered yes to either of these questions, then we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. So please give me a call at 602-298-1278, 602-298-1278, so that I can explain further the benefits that PTI can offer you and your portfolio.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. It's Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures, again, down lock limit, down, down 128. The NASDAQ down 359, its lock limit. Real number is in the, S&P, which is down 8.7%. Actually came back a little bit. It was down 26. It's only down, 23. When I say S&P, I'm talking about the cash spider. So you got me ganged up by two right wingers, Matty?
I think it'll be great.
Yes. Well, then, if I need some help on the left, feel free to opine in. Just saying.
There's a difference between Trump right wingers and just conservatives, and these guys are on the conservative side.
That's true.
So they're okay by me.
You see, they're okay. Have you ever met them?
Yeah.
All right. Just saying. Well, they look pretty strange to me. I just, you know, just letting you know. Although John and I are going on. What bar are we going to close tonight, or at least not close the bar like at 2 a.m, but.
Well, you can pick it, Tom. I trust your judgment. They're all good to me. But
well, I thought maybe we could start at the series, but Billy thinks they might have to close early. That'd be bad.
Well, they close at 9 normally, right?
So oh, 8. So, I mean, I...
8, okay.
But there's nobody, yeah, nobody in the exchanges, nobody in the building. Kevin, are you guys going to be somewhat... I mean, if we need to go out to dinner during the week, can we go, like, to Whiting or someplace and go to Indiana, or are you guys closing, too?
Hey, you can come on over to some of my favorite places.
So your governor is not going to run out and see 10 people enjoying themselves and say they're not listening to them and close the place?
So far, no. There does get to be a point where people start saying, well, if everybody else is doing it, I better not be the outlier who then has an incident.
The term of that would be a lemming?
It could be a lemming, or it could be a conference commissioner. As it unfolded last week with all the conference tournaments getting canceled, I think the amusing one was the Big East, where they were the last ones out, and they said, oh, my God, we have to cancel. Oh, it was already halftime of one of their games.
So. Well, the Big Ten, the guys were shooting around, or like 2 minutes from tip-off, right?
ACC was the same thing, yeah. As they were out there doing their warm-ups, and they got pulled off because the ACC was one of the last ones to cancel. And the Big East went ahead and got underway, and then they said, no, we better not be the last ones going here. So it would have been interesting to watch tournament basketball with nobody in the arena. It would have, because it would have been like watching an AAU game in the summer. A lot of talent and nobody else there.
Well, therein lies the rub. I've been sending you guys stuff all weekend. As you know, I've been trying to dig into this, and I really do believe, I kind of picked up on this, I'm going from store to store just watching people's behavior, and anyway, the head of the DuPage County, whatever, he was the guy who was he is, the dude in charge of the medical, what do you call it, medical commissioner or something, and they asked him, what do you think about, the president's speech and the state's doing and everything else, he goes, I'm missing the biggest part. I keep looking up to the light, basically. Where's the part about finding the area of people that are most at risk and doing a lot for them? It's not there at all. All we're doing is talking about what we're doing with other people. He goes, this is totally localized in older people. He goes, this is about, keeping grandma in her place, bringing her food every day, making sure that if you think you might have a problem, that you leave it on the front porch, she goes out and gets it. It's about those people. He goes, this is a very unusual. And then I sent you guys the thing from the, there's some younger guy in Korea. Well, he has it 14 days ago, so they quarantined him someplace. But they studied him all the way through. They interviewed the guy when it was all over. I mean, he still had a smidge in him, but not enough to be contagious. And he had the antibodies and stuff, or I think he did. And he goes, I've had colds that were worse. I mean, if I didn't test for this thing, I never would have. I mean, if somebody didn't test me, I would have not even a bad cold, but a mild cold. He goes, I would not have stopped going anywhere. So I don't know how you expect people who are asymptomatic to essentially stand down. And if they are asymptomatic, you don't want them to go home to grandma. I'm not so sure that there's a playbook for this, I guess, without criticizing the state people on the left or the federal people on the right. The answers to this are a little bit hard to come by. Is that fair?
Yeah. You know, I was half expecting last week that there would be a self-enforcing and age-specific quarantining of people, say, over 60 or over 65, and asking people who fell into that age group to limit your activities outside the home to only the most essential, you know, doctor's visits, or, you know, the things that were, you know, essential to your, you know, income or whatever else. But to remember that the fewer trips you make outside the house, the better for everybody, including yourself. I really expected that to come down, and I don't know that I would have been, you know, personally opposed to it. It would have affected me being in that age group, but I
no, it's always one year older than you are.
We won't get into months or days.
Yeah.
that reminds me of the, I forget which pundit said this, but when they were determining eligibility for this for last night's debate, essentially, you know, what would it take for Gabbard to get on the stage? And they said, well, the rules are going to be whatever Gabbard has plus one.
Well, yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, but this, I don't know how do you stop? Like Kevin, you were the one who was saying, how do you stop everybody from Auburn? You boot out of school, going down to the beach. Where are they supposed to go? You got to be someplace.
I'd go. Hey, spring break just got longer.
Yeah,
party.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you know what? And what you had mentioned, I think it was what you had mentioned, and John started to address too, is that you know, the way disaster planners do this is they just start a running log of risks. And this, you can keep coming up with new risks indefinitely, but if you do it long enough, you pretty much cover everything. And then everything, you know, at the most basic level, you just say, what is the likelihood of it happening, and what is the impact of it happening? So in this scenario, you say, you know, what is the likelihood of an elderly person getting sick with the coronavirus, and the likelihood may be fair. It's probably low. It would probably fit in the low category. But what is the impact? It's very high.
Yep.
But you go through and you say, and the first thing you have to do is you address the high likelihood, high impact. Well, we better deal with that. And then you get to the, okay, what's next? Well, what's next becomes the, you know, you can do the high mediums and the medium highs. But whatever it is, you know, there's a whole thought process that goes into this that is somewhat art but somewhat science. And I don't see any evidence of that kind of thinking as we've gone, you know, as we've made these public policies on the fly.
Have you, John and I were regaling a little bit that every single time there's always people planning to take monetary advantage of these situations. You think that's already happening? We're pretty careful to not. Out of all the things we're gonna have people do unemployment. We're gonna have the people who were thrown out of work now pay for all the people from the city that were sending home that are gonna get paid, right? So, which is interesting, but we're not gonna give anybody a property tax holiday. We're not gonna give anybody a credit card interest holiday. We're not going to give anybody a chance to write off the 35% they've lost in their transportation average in 3 weeks against their taxes, and over $3,000. But there's some sacred cows here, Kevin. Because the minute somebody that we know that owns a restaurant or a bar doesn't make its tax payment, somebody's going to be on it like a hawk, right, to take their place over for back taxes. I mean, the seamy underside to, I mean, certainly in the Illinois area, and I'm guessing even though it's probably not as bad where you are, the seamy underside to all this is just disgusting to me. It always has been.
Well, St. Joe County over here has a long-standing history of being totally crooked in every politically corrupt possible way. So, we may have seen that, and we may be seeing it. But you know, in the end, it probably is worse in Chicago. They perfected the art.
You know? But I mean, the teachers' union wants the schools closed. Don't pay them. See how that would have worked. But the idea is they're always going to get paid and other people are going to pay it. But now you've thrown the other people. I don't know if you heard the story yesterday or I gave earlier, the conversation between the bartender and this guy sitting there having a sandwich at the Tripoli last night, where the guy was obviously, he reminded me of our buddy Daryl, although it wasn't him. I mean, there was a guy who clearly was retired with a lot of dough. He looked like he'd been an accountant. And he says, well, Which federal program are you going to benefit from that the president just announced today? And she looked at him like he had four heads. What are you talking about? I've never benefited by a program in my life. Who's going to pay unemployment to me? Plus, Illinois unemployment is $1,800, which is roughly, that's the maximum, which is roughly your hospitalization payment, right?
If you have and is the unemployment going to be on the base wage, or is it going to cover tips too?
You know where that's coming from.
Tips too.
I don't know. These are all these questions, Kevin. We got enough questions, buddy. We need some answers.
I'm thinking of my own question.
The northwest side, east of Pulaski along Lawrence Avenue, is teeming with little restaurants, hole-in-the-wall places of all different ethnicities, and they're interspersed with retail places, clothing shops, mattress shops, you know, dress shops, you name it, all along. You know, it looked like an old-fashioned Chicago shopping district, but there's every language imaginable being spoken. Everybody gets along pretty well. You know, stores come and go, but by and large, I'd say it's kind of a bustling area. If all these restaurants are closed for 2 weeks, the hit that's going to, you know, be felt by these other stores in between them too, because of the lack of foot traffic or people lingering after lunch to go in and buy something or whatever, is going to be huge too. And I just don't see any kind of calculus that anybody has really put all this stuff together with and figured what neighborhoods are really going to go south, and is there, you know, an opportunity for some developer to come in and make a clean breast and knock stuff down, whatever, if these stores don't come back, which many of them probably won't. I see it as it's too violent an upheaval. In some ways you like to think somebody is manning the store and knows what's going to be the whole effect of all of this stuff, that somebody has thought of that. If they haven't thought of it, then we really are in detail.
Well, do you think, to take the area that I'm most up to speed on, do you think Jay Powell, when he has this huge announcement, he's driving interest rates to zero, my first question is, for who? Whom? Now, does the lady in owns a Thai place that we went to Saturday night that's probably going to be out of business? Maybe she could do some carry out. Now, if she walks down the street to the bank, is her number going to be zero? Or is she going to, they're going to want a personal guarantee on the business, okay, which none of these other places have to give if you're big enough. That's for sure. Nobody's going to sign that. How could you possibly put a personal guarantee on a business when you have a governor where you might not be open in December? How the hell could you put a personal guarantee on that? So do you think that somewhere in that room, some gnome like we would be says, hey, wait a minute, aren't you going to at least, while we're at zero, tell the banks you can only be 15% on the credit card and give these guys a 9 or 10% holiday for a few months? Can't we at least do that for those people?
If you really wanted to help people, you would. If you never thought of those people, that would be the last thing on your mind, too.
Well, but how do you must know that there's this, that the trickle down has not worked in the last 8 years. At least in interest rates. I'm not saying that, you know, that somehow the tax thing for the big companies didn't make it down a little bit. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, the interest rate has not made it down at all. All you've done is widen the gap from the haves to the have-nots. So if Nick walks in for a loan for the Tripoli tap to save him for 2 months, what are they going to say? He's 20% plus a personal guarantee. And then when he can't pay his taxes, the guy comes in and says, well, you're big enough, we'll give you a rate for three. How's that fair? We're not addressing anything like that.
No, we're not.
Well, you know, that maybe that'll be the, you know, how when we look back on this time in history, the, you know, the story of the era is going to be, oops, sorry, we didn't think it through.
Well, I think...
Or maybe it's going to be, hey, yeah, we did think it through.
Well, the difference...
That's what happened.
The difference, Kevin, is between us not thinking it through and us being somewhat unaware is one of the most foolish things I ever did. And there's been a lot of foolish things I've done. I actually...
Oh, okay, because I need to drop off, but not until I hear the foolish thing you did.
Someday I got a hair up my behind, and I said, you know what? I'm going to really do some research on this Resolution Trust, because one of my original big clients, my biggest client here at PTI, was a guy that was intimately involved in that in Arizona, the Keating thing and all the other kind of stuff, and knew the people that were buying up the properties and the prices they were getting for them, and I found it was fascinating. So at that time, you could go on the Internet. It had just come out. And I went on there, and there was a guy. Remember that, I'll use the term, stone-cold ugly guy, who was the attorney that was always a burr right up Mayor Daley's ass?
Sherman Skolnick?
Yeah. He did amazing writing on the Resolution Trust.
Oh, devastating stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the deal there, Kevin, was, and Jan, you couldn't, and Jan, you probably know this better than me, so correct me. If you were in and off, the government would lend you something like 80% of the money to pick up these properties, like, you know, 10 cents on the buck or 20 cents on the buck. But if you were in the group enough, they gave you the original 20% and then lent you the other 80% on the 20% they gave you. So if you were in the group, and this is Bush 1, I don't think Bush 1 was that big of a crook, but the guys around him sure were. They got stuff, even the Phoenician, this guy CW was my client, said that they had all these places set to go at like 40 cents on the dollar. And all of a sudden they came in from Washington and said, no, those prices are no good. We're going to give it to somebody out here for 25 cents on the dollar because we don't want to do four properties at a time. We want to do 10, and these guys can handle all 10. And it was done in a day. So this amazing amount of wealth transferred in Arizona from all these people, Keating, who spent too much on the place, but then the owner became somebody who just paid 25% of what Keating did. Well, even you and I, and the three of us, could make a go on that. You know, if we got to buy the merchandise mart for 40 cents on the dollar, I guess we could make some money on the place. So, I mean, the entire, and if you weren't in the group, it didn't really matter if you had the money. You had to be in the system. You had to know what the auctions were. I mean, I read that, and ever since then, I've smelled a rat in every time something like this happens. And it happens, what, every 10 years?
Well, and it happens, I'm sure it's happening now in the cannabis business here in Illinois, and, you know, all the businesses that kind of feed into that or flow from it, that it's a very select, you know, it's an oligarch. it's a select few people who have been designated as the ones who get this without having to compete or, you know, and they're protected in the selection process, and it's just bestowed on them. It's become routine, and, you know, what can you say about it except, you know, beyond being unfair, it's incredibly cost ineffective.
Yep. Well, yeah, not only you just cheated everybody else out of the 20 cents, right? The fair market value. I mean, these houses, if you would have let somebody like Audrey into the mix, somebody might have paid 90 grand for the decrepit house that went for 75. I mean, it doesn't sound like much, but you add it over every other place, that's a lot of money.
All right, gentlemen, I've got to ditch you for the time being. I'll talk to you Wednesday. Unlike some in my profession, I actually do have to go to work today.
Well, we're in the office here, and I have a feeling we're going to be doing some trading. Our clients need us here. I mean, God, I've never, Jan, Kevin, thank you, bud. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Take care, Kevin.
Jan, it's stunning how much now the phone is ringing off the hook here, and people want. Matter of fact, get a load of this. I had 2 to 3 clients that wanted to meet me for in a restaurant this week to talk about people in their family's portfolios, and if there's anything I can help them with now, which is, you know, kind of tough down here, but still, it we can help out some. Guess where are we meeting now? In the park?
Better take through with the Palmer House stuff.
We'll go with a park bench that's 8 foot long. You sit at one end and I'll sit at the other. So what happens if I have, if I do something really, really dumb and have, since I got so much food at my place, they have like 25 people over or 15 people over for some chow this weekend, or we have a barbecue out in the back if it's a nice weather and a beautiful new deck that we put in. If Pritzker drives by in his limousine, he's going to be pissed at me?
Yeah, get the zoning people out after you, Tom. They'll write you up.
Oh, yeah, for some. There's got to be a screw-up someplace. I mean, we know that. But, I mean, I wish there was some more thought to this. Plus, what's going to happen for one of these guys to say everybody go? I think in China, they just got to the point where everybody has it. They told everybody to go back to work.
Yeah, and I think that was the case in 1918 too. You know, all of a sudden people stopped, you know, reporting symptoms, and I'm sure by that point everybody was exposed to it in some fashion or another, and some never got sick or recovered, and you know they've pushed ahead. What else can you do? And you know, the sooner that happens, the better for everybody. And you know, I think that should be the game plan, the thing that you're asking people to assist happening, not just, you know, crawl into a hole and don't come out till we tell you to. That's kind of insane. I mean,
well, John, why after all this money we spent after 9/11, and I keep coming back to this, why aren't we more prepared? Why don't we have? I mean, Kevin and I were talking yesterday on the phone. I was seething with him because he's always good to talk to. So why don't we have the ability? I mean, the whole idea after 9/11 was, what if something happened where 100,000 people in Chicago were quote, compromised, whatever it happened to be, dirty bomb, radiation, bio, something, you know, a chlorine gas thing went up, and all of a sudden you got 80,000 people with bad lungs, something. I mean, it all comes down to the same thing. How do you get help to those people or those people to the help? This is very, very simple, right? It's like running a cartage company. How do I get the box from Flanagan's front door to Matt Weber's front door? That's all it is. All the other stuff in the middle is noise, right? But how do I get services to people and people to the services? I see no ability to do that whatsoever that we pay for.
It's going to sound very cynical, but, you know, I don't think there's any interest in, you know, sort of anticipating these issues and being ready to solve them when they arise. It's all about making people pay through the nose for the future safety, but there was absolutely no desire or political will to be prepared, because there's more to be made out of a crisis than there is out of a situation that's well handled. And I can just see it now in the way the media has just gone into overdrive. It's all about peddling, you know, the fear that is associated with an unknown. That really isn't that unknown. I mean, they'd like you to think it's worse probably than it is, because there's more ratings juice in that, and there's more people, you know, forgetting about other stuff and looking the other way. And that's always more profitable to people who can, you know, watch other people squirm underneath them. If you were really part of a well-oiled machinery where everything was taken care of as you expected it to be and that you paid for years ago, there's no drama in that. There's no opportunity for profit or anything else. Now it's just you know, cranking up these operations to make people suffer in other new, different ways. It was never about fixing a problem like this if it came down to play.
Well, John,
maximizing the payback from it.
If that was the mentality, to be honest with you, I almost don't have a problem with it. Okay, we're just not going to prepare. Okay, I don't agree with it. But if the vote came down that way, you know, if I was the hen and the five wolves voted to have the hen for breakfast, I guess I'm the hen, right? I'll roll with that. But the thing that bothers the living piss out of me is that if you talk to Lou about Switzerland and how much Switzerland spends on their defense, right? They spend more than we do per capita. But he says if you go through the countryside, you're going to see fortified buildings with like weapons in there. If anybody tries to, I'm not saying this was a good idea, bad idea, but whatever idea it was, at least they spent the money and you can see it. You know, here's an airfield with five jets on it. If somebody tries to come in here, they're going to have trouble. These five jets are pretty good pilots, and guess what? You know, you better. It's like a burglar alarm. We're gonna send this guy somewhere else, because between the mountains and our stuff, we're gonna be tough to tangle with. But at least you got it. It's like the fallout shelters. I don't know if it was a good idea, bad idea, but at least guys said, here's what we're going to spend the money on, and they did, and they were there. Now I get this feeling, somewhere in this country, and I don't, you've known me for 40-some years, I'm now a law and order guy, but I'm also the son of a Southside cop. Someplace, somewhere, somebody has to go back and look at what happened in, you know, after 9/11 and find 10 companies that got contracts to do stuff and just never did it, but got the money. Or something like, even the people who are buying another company and raising the price tomorrow. Basically, someday, somewhere, and I don't want, you know, the Hitler arm camp here, you got to walk into 10 board meetings on the same day and walk out with people in cuffs and say, guess what? This is not going to happen here. You guys don't get to steal from everybody else forever, and we're going to stop it today. It never gets stopped, Jan. We're supposed to be at war, and we can't stop it.
Right. You know, 2008 was a golden opportunity to, you know, pick some of the worst offenders in that whole mess.
Right.
Arrest them, make them serve time. It didn't have to be maybe even more than 30 days in some case. But nobody
did
time for anything.
No.
And so the whole thing has just been, you know, whitewashed in a way that, well, what does that do but make you lose faith in judges and the criminal justice system and state's attorneys and U.S. attorneys and everything else? If they don't go after that kind of stuff,
no.
Well, they're going to go after the restaurant owner who opened up in defiance of J.B. Pritchard.
Oh, they'll be on him like white on rice. We know that. John, thank you very much. Might need you later in the week. SP Futures. Lockdown limit. This is crazy. This happened twice in the last 4 days. I never saw it in my whole career. NASDAQ futures lockdown limit, the real number, SPY is down 9.85%, so that we have to assume we're on almost 10%, not 5%. We'll be right back, Mr. David Adelman.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They're located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708
408-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. Just about warming the board. This is David Adelman here in a second. Bleak morning here, as you've probably heard already. Futures locked down 5% limit. Yeah, so that puts S&P futures down 128.50. NASDAQ futures down 359.75. Dow futures, their 5% is like a little over 1,000. But the big number here this morning is the SPY, which is down $27 now, which is a full 10%. That's really ugly. So we've got the Fed doing their thing. It's not doing much any good, nor should it have done any good, by the way. But DAX down at 816 now. That's almost 9%, 8.8. FTSE down 366, 6.8%. CAC around on 421, 10%. I wish I'd have taken advantage of the run up on Friday to buy some more puts. I've got one for every share of stock, but wish I had more, for God's sake. Wish I had more. Can't have enough puts today. Nikkei down 429, 2.4%. Shanghai down 98, 3.4%. Hang Seng down 969, that's 4%. Oil, whack down 234, 2939. Brent down 331, 3054. Natural gas 179. RBOB under 70 cents, 69 cents. That's unbelievable. 10-year rate 0.76, it's down 18, but actually the Bund is from minus 0.79 is back to only minus 0.50, and Japan is flat even, so they're actually going up, which is even stranger. Gold down 46 bucks, 1469, silver down a buck 85, copper down 9 cents, 236. Look at these copper numbers, there's like no hope for anything in China. Very, very strange. Maddie, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports. By the way, transportation average is down 34% in 1 month. That's unreal. What do you got for us, Maddie?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. As you can imagine, Chief, there is no sports to talk about, but we do have some traffic and weather. There's a pretty bad crash on the Jane Addams Tollway. It looks like it is a rollover crash blocking the two right lanes on the Jane Addams inbound just before Higgins Road. So that's I-90 just before Higgins Road in Rosemont. That's causing a solid traffic jam on the inbound side due to the two right lanes being blocked as crews work to get that accident cleared. And it's opened up the Kennedy as you get further inbound. So no issues on the Kennedy right now in either direction. Same for the Edens. Traffic building steadily on the Eisenhower and Stevenson, but no accidents to report. Same for the Dan Ryan, I-57 and the Bishop Ford. Normal traffic volumes for this time of morning, but no accidents or issues to report. Suburban tollways are all quiet. No issues on Lakeshore Drive in either direction. We're off to a pretty decent start outside of the Jane Addams. Weather today, cloudy skies with a high of 41. Right now it's mostly cloudy and 36 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 78 today. Right now it's clear and 55. And in sports, as I mentioned, nothing going on. It would have been Selection Sunday yesterday, but that was canceled. So now we'll look forward to a lot of nothing, watching old replays maybe, Chief. Reading books is probably a good thing to do. Certainly Netflix helps as well. Back to you.
Well, if we start reading books, we have to shut down the bookstores. Did you realize, I mean, Pritzker actually said that people didn't pay attention to him and too many were going to the bars and that's why he closed them. I find it unconscionable. Somebody said, David, how are you? David,
hello?
Are you? Yeah, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're just saying that I hope you guys aren't all in the synagogue or he'll close the synagogues if too many of you are there if you didn't pay
attention.
They
already have.
I know. Were you one of the people at the bars that didn't pay attention? If they're not going to go to an appeal, I'm going to close them. So now you got some houses that have, you know, 8 or 9 people in them now at home locked up with grandma. Is that better?
I don't have an answer to that. I mean, my overall answer, and, you know, I mean, Dr. Fauci was, you know, on all the Sunday talk shows and whatever, and he said, you know, hopefully we'll look back and see that the overreaction was the right thing to do. And I think, you know, just the action that people are taking themselves without the Fed and without, you know, the local municipalities is going to prove effective, and that we will look back and say that we overreacted. And I'm not taking anything lightly. I've said for weeks that one death is too many, but I'm a numbers guy, and when I look back, you know, to 2009, 2010 with the H1N1 and 284,000 people died, you know, in 1 year in 2009 from it, and there was a 20% mortality, and I look at the figures so far, and I know that, you know, symptoms can be carried around in infants and child and not even know, and perhaps when, you know, we say, oh, there's 173,000 cases worldwide, maybe it's 10 times that. But I don't recall any kind of action like this for the H1N1, and I think that in general that governments and Fed and the like have gone beyond everything, and the fear itself is creating the reaction that we see.
I would agree with you 100%. The fear is part of being, we got to do. If one guy does one thing, the rapidity at which this has made it from 10 days ago, Trump saying it's not that much of a problem, to right. This is just,
you know, I'm no fan, but I'm not a proponent either. I think they're doing everything they can. But, you know, to sit there, you know, on Friday and again, you know, yesterday and say, you know, we'll see the rapidity that we're responding to this and, you know, we're going to get 500 bed tents set up and blah, 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 blah. Oh, and, oh, by the way, the Dow was up 2,000. Didn't you see how great the market performed? There's no place for that.
No. Well, you can see that this morning.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and you know, the Fed injects, you know, cuts the rates 100 basis points, so now they're out of bullets on that front, and $700 billion in asset purchases, and blah, 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 and whatever, $8.3, $8.5 billion from Congress, and Stafford Act for another $50 billion, and, oh, we're going to cut payroll taxes, and whatever, and as you pointed out, our Bob Gass, you know, it 70 cents,
yeah.
You know, so we should be looking at $1.60 on the pump in a few days, and all those are literally tax cuts, and the markets limit down.
Well,
that tell you anything about fear and panic?
It tells you a lot about fear and panic. It also tells you that I honestly thought they would not, and I didn't know what was going to do it. But as you know, I constantly have people that I talk to on every strata of the chain, from the guy on the corner who's a homeless guy that tells me how much they need for a room at night off the street, and if you don't make it, you're on the street, to some people that are right at the $50,000 level that are paying their own insurance, to some people that aren't paying their own insurance, and how the difference from the way I try my best to sort of hang in there. And I honestly thought, and I never dreamed it would be a disease, that we were very close to the edge on the political creatures that we have that never get out of the limousine, not realizing that the 50 to 60% that are paying for all the other people's stuff reaching to the point where they couldn't do it anymore. The The taxes are too high. People are leaving. And people are blind to this stuff. So when you get a Pritzker or a Trump, I mean, it really doesn't matter, or a Mike Pence or whoever it is, or a Powell, and they come up under Lori Lightfoot. She's off the deep end, too, I think, where you all of a sudden you come out and say, well, here's the deal. We're gonna close the schools, but oh, by the way, we're gonna pay all the teachers. Well, you know, okay, fine. We always gotta pay the people that are on the dole, you know, working for the government. We're gonna close this, you know, this, who knows if the state's attorneys, we're closing the courts, by the way, for 30 days, which is like never happened. So, okay, we're gonna pay all the judges. We're gonna pay all the bailiffs. We're gonna pay all these people. But now here's the other 60% of the people that are out. Either mechanics or bartenders or doing something or a job. Maybe they're carpenters. There's places where they're getting paid by the job. Now, they're not going to get any unemployment. If they do, it's less than their insurance payment for the month for health insurance. They're not going to get any property tax cutback. I mean, if you're going to close a bar for a month or a restaurant, do you think we're going to not charge them that month for the property? That's not in the game. And now we're going to go to an interest rate at zero. But if you and I had a bar and we went down the street and say, gee, we need a loan for the bar for the month, that's not going to be zero. And oh, by the way, we're probably going to have to sign a personal guarantee, which neither one of us is stupid enough to do if we don't know if we'll be closed for 2 years. Right? So, I mean.
No, I know what you're saying, and I get what you're saying with targeting. And I do think that, you know, whether it's airlines or Uber or whatever, the travel industry, truckers, whatever, I think they're going to try to target it. I just still think in general, when you look, and again, I'm not making light of 69 deaths, but 69 deaths and 3,800 cases, yeah, hey, one's too many. But out of 330 million people, is this the response that we need? And you, like you point out, you can never get the money or the relief where it's targeted, where you close everything up. And I mean, you know, I say to myself, 50 to 60,000 people die on the highways, you know, each year, just domestically, and who knows how many billions and billions of property taxes. Does that mean you close the roads? I mean, I don't understand this.
What happens is if you were the governor of, I mean, you can't have somebody coming out and saying we would like to see, we started out yesterday morning, if your establishment is good for 100 people, we'd like you to limit it to 50.
Right.
It probably wouldn't be the time to have your place, you know, behind elbow. I'll clean it up. But I think people have enough common sense for that. You're probably not going to get young people who are bulletproof to not go into a crowded bar. They also know that it doesn't really affect young people very much, right? So,
right.
But I also know you got to be someplace, right? And if you send kids home to stay with grandma, I don't know that that's the smartest thing. I think it probably isn't. So what are we doing?
Right, because the kids themselves evidently, you know, when you hear this, you hear that, yeah. But evidently the children can show little or no symptoms and transfer it to the elderly that are susceptible.
Well, that's right. Now, we have, at some point here, which this also made the market I was talking about earlier, hoping you'd be on, David, is that so many stocks that I watch all the time, and I don't know why I watch, you know, I'm not going to watch Amazon because there's not really a point at which I'm going to put my people in Amazon because I don't have a lot of people who can buy 1,000 shares of Amazon. In fact, I don't think I have anybody who can buy 1,000. That's another story.
You can buy 10.
You can buy 10, yeah.
And so, more odd lots are treated with respect, especially in the you know, high dollar figure, a Google, whatever. You know, I've had people, and full disclosure, I own a little bit of Amazon, whatever, 10 shares across customer accounts, so I'm not talking big time. But no, you know, it's not like the old days where if you didn't have round lots, you
right.
Can't get in.
Or you can do a you know, an option spread one time or something.
Sure.
I mean, but
sure.
But what I'm saying, I guess, I don't know when I look at the ones, you know, as you know, Dan's got a whole lot of people that are in these fundamental industries. I mean, I don't know where he got these clients, but they always play in the Steels, the Cleveland Cliffs, and those kinds of things. God, David, they're decimated. Now,
yeah.
The question is, you know, is Halliburton, I use that one as money because I always have it right in front of me on the screen, it's under $6. I mean, if you don't think they're going out of business, someplace, somewhere in here, you know, I don't know if they come back or it's a V-shaped or a bathtub. Someplace, somewhere, we're getting to the spot where you almost need to grab, you know, 10 of these things if you can, and do a little something or cover it right or whatever, even if it's really small. I mean, we're reaching the point, but now I'm not so sure I was ready to do that on Friday. I don't see what's going to cause Jay Pritzker or whoever, or anybody in 2 weeks to say it's all clear. I mean, this isn't going to be over in 2 weeks. Are we talking about everything closed in July? I mean, how many bankruptcies is that going to be?
Nobody knows. But and you know, and it was very interesting listening to Dr. Fauci and the other one, the former FDA commissioner Gottlieb. I mean, I think those two, at least from what I see, are the two most prominent, you know, authorities on this or whatever. And they were talking about how high is the peak. You know, does this self-quarantining by individuals and the closure of businesses and schools and religious, you know, places, you know, stem this so that the peak is far lower than what is anticipated? And if so, it could be in 2 weeks. And I know nothing, zero, less than zero about pandemics, epidemics, whatever. I'm not trying to predict this. But from what I see, you know, just anecdotally, you know, my children are lawyers. My son is, you know, in sports venues. You know, this is their lifeblood. There's no sports. There's no business. Yeah. They're not, you know, laying him off or whatever. They're saying, you know, hey, do your due diligence, get the contracts together, do the insurance, you know, for workers or whatever. Stay home. Don't go to Vegas, you know, for the Las Vegas football team. But plan ahead, because these venues, you know, all we're doing for the Seattle basketball, you know, team, you know, hockey, turning the Seattle former basketball arena into a hockey arena or whatever, go forward with that, but do it from home. So, again, I can't pick a calendar date or whatever. My own guess is that all these measures are going to mean that they're going to say that the situation, much like China and Wuhan and whatever, that the situation, the worst of the situation is behind us, and I truly believe that we will see that in the next 4 weeks.
Well, I sure hope you're right. I sure hope you're right. Really safe from your lips, just, to guys here. You know, I mean,
And I also think, you know, that, you know, when you see, I mean, you alluded to it, and I think it's a very key point. When you see an RBOB, you know, future, it's 70 cents, and you add whatever, $1, $1.05, or 90 cents, you know, depending on the municipality for taxes or whatever, you start seeing, you know, gas at $1.60. You know, if there's a sign, or when there's a sign, that a lot of the multiplicity of cases and deaths is slowing, people are going to go to that pump and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to be away from everyone, but I'm going to, you know, go to Galena. I'm going to travel where there isn't crowds, and because at $1.60 a gallon, I'd like to get out from under this craziness in the city, and I'm going to take a trip to the country.
Well, if you're, I don't disagree, David. I don't know what they're looking at in terms of why they put the thing on. Well, they're looking at numbers different than us, so I don't know what they're looking for. It seems to me that if the disease takes 14 days, then 2 weeks is not a whole hell of a lot of time. From the time you get it to the time it's, you're not contagious. I have people that have said, somebody at Northwestern thinks there's already 500,000 people infected. Well, if that's the case, the bubble's not going to be down in 2 weeks. I mean,
I get what you're saying, but again, you know, if people are carrying symptoms and, you know, are self-quarantining themselves, and, you know, I can't give you a percentage,
right,
but I mean, if, you know, they estimate that ultimately 1%, the mortality rate will be 1%, even though it's about 3.5 now, then the calamity that is going into public policy and market response will be looked at some particular point. And again, I,
I believe it's 4 weeks. Maybe it's 14 weeks. Nobody really knows that. But I think we will look back and say there was a dramatic overreaction.
Well, I would love to have somebody. By the way, do you know if one of your children or somebody? I would love to have somebody from the hospitality industry on, because I've heard, well, mainly because one of the places I went last week, they were talking about the different groups going into McCormick Place, and some of them already shipped all their tchotchkes and stuff that you had bought for your booth, stuff, the handouts, and a lot of people have already booked their hotel rooms, paid for them. A lot of people had sent a check to McCormick Place for the booths and so forth, because the earlier you get it in, the better location you get. Now, is that stuff insured? Does that money come back? Does the McCormick Place have any insurance? I mean, what about if it's a hotel?
I don't know the answer to that. My partner is an association manager for underground water development, and she literally, the first week of March, finished her annual training seminar at the DoubleTree in Rosemont, and she had like... Normally they have 30, 40 people come, you know, from literally industry all over the world, from water pumps and whatever, underground cleaning, etc. And she got 75 people, and she literally had to take out extra bookings because more people were coming than expected. And then when we started, you know, not we, but when they started feeling, you know, the threat of the coronavirus or whatever in the last day or two, she got like 6 or 7 cancellations, and amazingly enough, they were local. They were people from like Stickney and whatever, not people, you know, taking air or whatever, but their firms just said, hey, you're going to go, you're going to be here sanitizing the premises, and you're not going where there's crowds, and we're not letting you. All the cancellations were locally, amazingly enough, and she got out under the gun, and the hotel basically said, hey, you know what, you guaranteed us this, that, the other, food and lodging and this and that and the other, and rooms and video, audio, visual equipment or whatever. We understand that this is, you know, an unusual circumstance, and, you know, we're going to let you out of whatever, we're going to prorate it, and we're going to let you out of the obligations of the contract.
Well, that was nice of them. I mean, I wonder how far across the board that is. I mean, because, I mean, Mark Cuban was on. Matty, I don't know if you spotted him. You were out of town, but he said very little of this is insured in the NBA. Now, I got to believe those guys. What do you think, Matty? His arena, does he own it or does he rent it? Does he rent per game, or what do you think down there?
Very good question. I don't know. I'd have to look.
They got
to
all be different, don't you think?
I think they're all different. I know a lot of players have stepped forward. Zion Williamson,
yep.
Among others, Giannis up in Milwaukee, Steph Curry in Golden State. I know
the Bulls and the Blackhawks are paying the support help.
Yep, Reinsdorf and Wirtz said they're going to pay United Center staff, I think, at least for 30 days, and then we'll see how much longer, you know, if it goes longer than that.
And all those things, you know, are going to be real positive once we hit this peak and we're on the other side. Again, nobody knows
when
that
you,
is.
Not to degrade that, because I think it was nice of them to do that. What do you think you actually have to pay? What do you pay a vendor? Or does he...
I would have no idea.
Or does, I mean, it used to be they came and they bought the beer at a certain price, then they went out and sold it at another price. Now they are, but I think, man, didn't they become employees at one point? Instead of free agents? I thought they did. Now, I don't know.
No idea.
And if they get paid a minimum wage plus tips or whatever, right? I think something changed there. Maybe we'll have to grill Lou on that on Thursday, because I thought they all were just free agents back in the day, weren't they, David? I thought.
I think you're right. But recently, I would have no idea if that changed or not.
I think it changed. I don't know how it changed, but I'm thinking that it's not a whole lot of dough. But now, you know what? You learn as you go. I had no idea that for a full house Bulls or Hawk game, there was 1,200 people that worked there? What would you have guessed,
wow,
Matty or David? I would have guessed
no,
500,
maybe. I would have guessed 600, 700.
Yes, I would have guessed about half of that. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of coordination. Holy, you know, that's, I mean, those things, I mean, you know, when you got 20,000 people, you're all trying to serve in, what, a 3-hour time frame, and everybody gets to eat and drink and whatever, it's a lot of people. Well, I've got the Spiders now down 10.6%. They've up down 28 points. Are we just going to go lock down today or what? Are we going to trade?
I don't know the answer to that. I would not be surprised to see, you know, two locks. And then I think people, you know, will say, hey, look, you know, whatever, United Airlines in the 30s when it looked valuable on their own, you know, forward guidance at 90. You know, here at a 3 multiple, even if they lose 75% of their earnings for the year, it looks valuable. And I do think that we will trade. And yes, we're going to give back all of Friday's gains. But I honestly think that, I mean, I would be a proponent of closing the markets for 4 days, just like after 9/11. Let everyone relax and digest. I think that would be a good idea. Don't know if that'll happen or not. But I do think that the market will stabilize, maybe not today, but over the next couple, 3 days.
David, I got one that a prediction I made. Said if these idiots ever go to zero interest rates, the market will be down 40%. It's almost exactly 40%.
Yeah, I get it.
I didn't want to be right on
and
that.
And if
one.
You take average stock unweighted, I'm sure it's already there.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. David, thank you. SPY okay. is the only thing that's live trading here, down 10.8% on $29. The other stuff's locked down, 5% limit. So not good news today. Hopefully better news tomorrow, Stocks and Jocks.
Hey, guys. What's up, G? Want to go to Tchotchke's, get some coffee?
Oh, it's a little early.
I got to get out of here. I think I'm going to lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.